The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the What Do You Do podcast with Kath B. But first, whatever comes out of my head. I have a tip for those of you who have fires. You know, open fires, closed fires, potbelly stoves, all the fires that you warm your home with. You can make your own fire lighters. Now, all you need is some empty egg cartons. One's made out of cardboard. A bit of sawdust, which you might go to a place that does woodwork and ask them for some off the floor. You also need some old candles or wax of some sort that isn't too expensive. I melt down old candles that I have found somewhere around. I used to get them from op shops, but it seems people like them and there's not so many at op shops anymore. But anyway, all you do is get an old pot, you melt the wax, you put a bit of sawdust into each little egg cup of the egg carton, and then you pour the melted wax into that. Put quite a bit of sawdust so the wax doesn't go straight through and out the other end. You also need to do it on some surface that isn't going to matter, so maybe some concrete outside, and maybe then put some newspaper down. And then you break off each little cup, and that's your fire lighter.
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do? Today, I am talking with Dev. And joining us is her dog, Cookie.
Hey, Cookie.
Yes. And we also have a beautiful view from Deb's lounge window of the mountains and the snow on the mountains. Would you like to tell us what you do or what you did?
So, going through life, sort of one opportunity just sort of popped up after the next, and it was always like, oh, I can't do that. I remember thinking that every time, and then I thought, oh, look, why not?
Yeah.
Like, let's just go and try it. And, yeah, I've just had some really rewarding jobs.
Okay, cool. Well, we might talk more about them, like how your kind of progression went, but kind of the main job that you'd had, that you would call your main job, would you?
Probably the last one came from working in pharmacy.
Yeah.
Which I loved because I realised that I loved working with people, okay. Loved talking to people.
Yeah.
And loved training. Ended up really liking training. So I got asked to join a company where I went into healthcare, helping people with sleep apnea.
Oh, sleep apnea.
Which is huge. There's so many undiagnosed people in New Zealand. It's crazy. They don't realise that how they feel like they do through the day because they're just not getting sleep that they need. We're meant to be getting 8 hours of absolutely beautiful sleep. Yeah, right. it doesn't happen. And people really with mild to really severe sleep apnea are waking up so many times in the night. Either they wake up and they remember waking up or they actually just wake up and their brain wakes them up because they've literally stopped breathing. And that can happen so many times per hour. So you imagine not breathing for a certain amount of time through an hour patch, how are you going to feel in the morning?
Terrible.
Foggy, you're going to reach for a coffee, Panadol, and it becomes a standard issue just to cope. But when it starts to get really severe, then it's impacting on your life.
Right.
It's impacting with your family.
Yeah.
And driving a car is really dangerous.
Because you're really not with it.
You're not functioning.
No.
Yeah.
My understanding is that people actually don't know they've got it.
9 times out of 10, they don't. No.
Yeah. How does it happen that they get diagnosed? I know my friend's husband did, and that was because she was there and she would hear him kind of stop breathing, and he was a big snorer.
Yes.
So is it usually a partner that kind of draws this attention, or do they go to the doctor because they're just exhausted all the time?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't got a partner, then, you know, because you don't know, you snore half the time. This is it. So sometimes that can be with, you know, no one wants to go camping with you anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that tent's rattling. We wake up in the morning and all the tents have moved. And so it's about, looking at the symptoms of how you feel, picking up on them, because no one really talked about how is your sleep health before. You know, how do you sleep?
No, and nobody actually does now.
No.
Even if you go to the doctor with all these things, they don't usually say, how do you sleep?
Yeah, and so important.
Yeah.
So when you've got a partner, especially when you can notice that gasping and that stopping of breathing, that's a real sign. Yeah. But, of course, snoring is as well. Because when you go to sleep, everything relaxes and it's your upper UA.
Yep.
So when that starts to collapse, it blocks it off. So that's when the snoring starts coming. And then if you listen to it, the stopping. So snoring's actually better than not snoring.
Right. Yeah. Because you're actually breathing.
you're breathing when you're snoring.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've had severe cases of it. And then, you know, like the pictures rattling on the walls, like really huge snoring.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm not staying over at our grandparents' place because I can't sleep.
Wow.
But it's all that, you know, repercussions after that as well.
Yeah.
So, like, just having, grumpy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes people that have actually been diagnosed and gone on to sleep apnea, but like, oh, actually.
I feel much healthier.
Yeah. Oh, like it can be a real game changer.
Yes. Well, not only if you are married to someone like that, not only for the person who's got it, but for the other person too.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because that person loses, it's been worked out, they lose quite a lot of sleep every night. And they've got a function.
Yeah.
And this is just not like mature people, it's young people as well that get it. It's not just mature people. So you've got people that are sleeping in separate rooms. In an early marriage.
Yes.
How sad is that?
It is sad.
Yeah.
But not everyone who snores has sleep apnea. Is that true?
Not everyone, but it's a sign. It's one of the signs that you put it through to for having
yes.
it.
Yes.
So severe tiredness, foggy, just not functioning, like wanting to come home and not socialise. It can be quite bad on social life as well.
Yeah.
Because you just want to come home after a day's work and just hit the couch.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel like going out.
No. So you have the energy for it.
You don't have the energy.
Yeah.
So
someone is already diagnosed with it and that's when your role started?
Or testing for it.
Right.
Testing for it.
Okay.
And having that first space. Yeah, taking those steps of looking at a client and actually asking them, well, actually, how do you sleep? And then you open that conversation, like, we're actually really not well. I've been told I snore. And then you go on to that testing facility of asking them questions.
Yeah.
And then doing, you know, just an overnight forehead test, which is so good.
Oh, yeah, that would be easy, wouldn't it? Because there would be a lot of people who don't want to go through the whole rigmarole of having fins on their face and all sorts, you know, just to test, would they?
100%.
Yeah.
And you do it with your phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
If somebody didn't have it or didn't, you know, the test didn't come back positive, say, for sleep apnea, was that your role kind of finished and then it was like, well, you go to see your doctor?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you would take it, okay, well, that's ruled that out for you.
Yeah.
So now let's look at what else might be going on. But the percentage of it is really high.
Okay.
And then people that have thought, oh, you know, I'll just do it, have come back really severe. So I've seen customers that have had the test, they look grey, tired, and then they go onto machine because that's the next step.
Okay.
And then, wow, you see them. That's why I love the job. You saw them coming in, they're brighter, they're smiling, you know, family members start to notice it.
Wow.
So it's actually something that's been introduced like to New Zealand as a testing thing to grow the awareness of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's probably people out there who are listening who are going, oh, maybe that's me. And so this actually could have been going on for years. Was that right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So some people, it could be 20 years before they realise.
Yep.
Wow, that's just amazing. And you're saying what a difference it makes to be light. I know that my friend's hubby, it made a huge difference to his sleep, his whole, you know, waking up feeling more rested rather than not rested, and also her life.
Because
even though I don't know if they've changed machines, we'll talk about that in a minute, but it was kind of a noisy machine, I think, that he had or something.
Yeah, they've really developed really good machines now.
Okay.
Yeah, they're silent.
Yeah.
But having that support,
yeah,
I think, doing it from pharmacy, you've got someone to go to all the time.
Right.
They're your consultant.
Okay. Which so that was really kind good. Of your role.
I went from doing that in pharmacy to training. Oh. So that's how that progressed for me. So I ended up training pharmacies to do it.
Ah, yeah. Right. And did that involve travelling around
country?
Oh,
yeah. Cool. So I got to know New Zealand really well.
Yeah.
And right up to, you know, right up Kerikeri, right down to Winton. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. So before we go into that, let's talk about a few of the other jobs that happened in your life, say like when you left school, and then just briefly the kind of progression into this.
Yeah, I think like at school I never really knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I remember we were walking across the square because I come from Christchurch and my friend said to me, let's go and put our names down at the Labour Department. So I ended up thinking, oh yeah, why not, sort of thing, because I was ready to go into seventh form.
Yeah.
So that would have been the end of sixth form and I thought, why not? And she ended up getting a job at the IRD and I got one at the airport.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. So ended up doing international domestic freight.
Yeah.
And that was so good. Sorry, Cookie's being a nuisance.
It's all good. She's up on my back. And I'm so good. I love it.
Keith is
it's
not.
Fine. No, it's
Keith
fine.
Keith is not an ice cream. Move away.
I know I look like one.
Move away. But, yeah, so I ended up doing that job for 15 years. I loved it. That was at the airport. So, you know, that was kind of meet and greeting, customer service, worked at the terminal for a while. And then after 15 years, I thought, oh, you know, I'm ready to try something else.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to go back to school, like to go and learn Word and Excel and everything as well. So went and did a course, ended up going to a temp agency for a while and then I ended up working for them. They said, would you like to work for us?
Oh, cool.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something I should like to do again. Like as a consultant would be really cool. That'd be a neat job.
Do you mean a consultant within a temp agency? So finding jobs for people?
I'd love to do that.
Ah.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Putting the right person with the right company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did, because I did that for a while. And then from there, a roofing company.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. So I learned all about roofs and how to put roofs on, and actually, yeah, they took me up to in one of those little, you know, forklift things right up the top of really big building.
Yeah.
So ended up having kids, and then for the year I did Avon. Just with all the mums at school. So that was like quite a good business. And then they asked me to teach Avon. Did that for a while, and then I thought, no, it's time to go back to work. So a friend of mine said, oh, do you want to do some work?
Yeah.
On a makeup counter. And I thought, oh, why not? Okay.
Yeah.
So then I got that job. And then I'd been there about 6 weeks and then they moved me to a major store. And then 2 years later, I got Canada Manager of the Year for New Zealand.
Wow.
I know. Blew me away.
That's
so
awesome.
That was really lovely.
Yeah.
And then I got offered to manage a pharmacy.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, I can't do that. And I thought, oh, why not? So I went to the interview. I got the job retail manager in pharmacy. So, yeah, I really just enjoyed the part of people, regular customers.
Yeah.
It would just come in and have a yarn and, yeah, so you built up that because it wasn't huge. It was independent pharmacies.
Yep.
So lovely, just awesome. Lovely customers and a good team.
Yeah.
A really good team, which I really enjoy working in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were young, were you quite a, you don't seem like a shy person?
Oh, I was.
Oh, were you?
Oh, terribly.
Really?
Really shy because my parents were older.
Yeah.
So we moved around a lot.
Yeah.
So I was always going into school like halfway through a year.
Yeah.
I was terribly shy.
Wow.
Really bad. Yeah. I think losing, because I lost my mum when I was like last day of the third form. So I was 13.
Oh.
So I think that
for you.
Just had to cope with things. And I think that's what's always been, yeah. Like
yeah, that's.
I had to deal with something major because my dad was older, you know. So I think we just looked after each other. We've got half brothers and sisters, but Dad and I were so close.
Oh.
And he lived till he was 87, so he had the kids by then, which was lovely.
Yeah, because losing your mum at 13 with hormones and all the things that girls go through at that point must have been so hard, not having someone to kind of talk to.
No, and Dad, you know, said I never talked about it. And my friend at school said, you know, I went back the next year, everyone was going, oh, your mum died. And I would just change the subject. So I never talked about it. Yeah, until later in life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really just too painful.
Yes, you just must sort of shut that out. And
yeah.
Amazing that you could do that, though, and still kind of carry on. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. When mum was sick, she set me up, or they set me up with a TV in my room.
Yeah.
And I think even today, I suppose that's my happy place. If I have anything going wrong, I just watch something really, I think I've told you this, really lovely on telly, cup of tea, elastic waistband and my dog. Oh, and the family, by the way. But that's, I, you know, even my husband, Mark, he'll say to me, like, you know, you got a problem, but the next day you come through it, put things into reality of they're not, things aren't that bad.
Right.
You know, from a catastrophe yet. Catastrophe you have when you're younger.
Yes.
To really, you can get through it.
Yeah.
And I think my motto in life,
yes,
going through these different jobs, the one thing I always say this, and I say this to my kids as well, think about yourself when you've gone for that job interview. You've gone into a pharmacy with a whole lot of strangers and you're training and you're thinking how good you're going to feel when you get back home that night. And if you can project that feeling like, I know I rocked that, or I did that interview to the best of my ability and now I'm home, I did it, it's out of the way.
Yeah.
How good do I feel?
Yeah.
So I always live that through with my kids as well.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Do it and don't worry about it because, you know, what's the alternative? Walking away, never tried. So I'm really huge on that.
That's fantastic, Deb. What great advice for someone who has had major loss at a really influential age,
yeah,
and then also broken barriers of shyness and your motto of kind of just do it and think of the outcome when you've done it. It's yeah, really good because I think there's more and more young people now who are kind of hiding away a bit from society, and this is really awesome advice, especially for people who are particularly shy or, you know, maybe don't feel like they're a people person, but you've kind of proven that you kind of weren't, you were shy, but you've managed to be a huge people person in the end.
Oh, thank you. But that's it, because like I say, you know, I've got a son in that same bracket, you know, that through different things is that, and I say to him, like, there's only, like, if you go, you know, to university or you go and take on just a part-time job, something like that, there's only one person to meet.
Yes.
You know, one person can change your whole life.
It's true.
To become buddies.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can have a lot of fun in a workplace.
Yeah.
You know?
And it doesn't even have to be a buddy. Like, I know sometimes your boss is that person, but it's, you know, you're not buddies or someone older who you kind of click with. It's when you're in a workplace, it's a whole lot of different people that you can kind of get on with for different reasons, or one's a mentor kind of, and one's a buddy that you laugh with at work, and it doesn't mean they have to be friends for life or anything. It's just meeting different people, eh?
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, the thought is I can't do that, but I'll try. And yeah, then break through it, do it, and then move on to your next level,
yeah,
and see where that job. So I never know what I want to do, but my jobs just flowed.
Yep.
I'd be like, I'll have a crack at that.
Yep.
Why not?
Yep.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of people out there who don't know what they want to do. And to know that a few years, just a few years down the track, you have done this, 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 and this, a bit like myself, this, 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 and this, and it's got me through and it's okay. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to do the same job every day for 50 years. You know, you can chop and change, which actually a lot of people are saying that I talk to.
I think the skills that you learn along the way by doing this forms all sorts of paths.
Yep.
And, you know, it keeps your cup half full.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a happy person.
You are?
Yeah, I am. I live with my cup half full.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
Yep.
Yeah, because yep, I know I'm really happy with the basics of life.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to go, like I said, you know, cup of tea and a good session of some sort of crime drama. I'm happy as Larry. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that.
Yes.
You know, so there's always something good.
Yeah.
Always.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give a young person who may still be at school and is thinking that Cookie's wanting to answer,
yeah,
and is thinking, I just have no idea what I want to do, or thinking they might want to do one thing, but then what advice have you got for those people?
I would say, because that was so me.
Yeah.
It was so me. So I would say that you just – give something a go, because what are you going to lose? Mm-hmm. You know, you might go to something and you might meet a lifetime friend out of it. You might meet a whole new group of people. But you're starting to get into that social aspect of work as well without not leaving it for a long time. So it gets harder,
yeah,
to go into something.
Yeah,
so
gotcha.
My thoughts are there. Always give something a go, because if it's not right, there's always something else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Deb. That was a really interesting conversation and fun as well.
Yeah, yeah, no worries at all.
Yeah. And I have an awesome rest of your day, this beautiful view, and maybe give Cookie a pat since she's been very patient.
She's been very patient, yes. She's a good girl.
And I'll catch you later.
Yeah, sounds good. All righty.
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.